Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 9:21 British Summer Time. Today is July 2nd. Well, today was really quite interesting and perhaps most interesting in the foreign exchange markets. The yen weakened to weaker than 100 yen to the dollar for the first time in about 6 or 7 weeks. And the Nikkei today was stronger by about 1.78%, and the fact that the dollar has been so very firm in here today does suggest that that will add an additional tailwind to Japanese equities over the next, definitely over the next 24 hours, but it confirms the view at Fuller Money that really Japan is one of the most attractive investment opportunities out there. But the really quite concerted strength of the US dollar is quite notable in a number of instances, and not least in the commodity sector. The RBA in Australia has succeeded in pushing down the value of the Aussie dollar, and today it was almost a full cent weaker and down to 91.43 cents, and that is really a quite a significant marker that the RBA isn't willing to allow the Aussie dollar to appreciate anymore and is in fact looking at a devaluation. Australian shares were stronger today by over 2%, and that countermanded the downward dynamic that we saw yesterday. And the ASX now has been ranging in this region here around between 4,500 and 4,900 for the last couple of weeks. And it does look like it is firming in here. And I did a click-through of a good part of the ASX this morning. And a general pattern of mean reversion is evident. And whereas we can look at the S&P 500 and say that it hasn't quite pulled back to the moving average yet, that's not the case with Australia. The vast majority of shares have already pulled back to their respective 200 AMAs, and we've seen a significant number firm. Companies like Brambles and Amcor, which are part of a relatively small number of Australian companies that outside of the resources sector that really have global businesses and dominate their respective niches, are probably going to benefit more than most from the weakness of the Aussie dollar. And the domestic economy in Australia really does need a weaker currency. So this really is good news all around for any of the domestic-oriented sectors, which have really been under quite a lot of pressure with the strength of the Australian dollar. And that leads us to Canada. Now, Canada has a number of the same challenges that Australia does, in that there is this really quite large divergence between the western side of the country, which has got this incredible boom with as a result of the commodities, and the eastern part of the country, which has really been laboring under a very strong loonie and the fact that their biggest trading partner has been in this low-growth environment. And when we look at the Canadian dollar versus the US dollar, and the US dollar now is up to 105.49, and it was stronger by another half a cent in here today. But there's this rounding characteristic over the last 3 years, and in the absence of quite clear downward dynamics and potentially intervention by the Bank of Canada, then the outlook for the Canadian dollar, and probably what you can imagine what the conversation is going to be like in Ottawa when people are talking about, well, look what Australia has done, and we need the same sort of stimulus for our manufacturing sector. Well, then a weaker Canadian dollar would certainly help with that. And we can't rule that out. And that would suggest that that is another currency where we've seen concerted strength over the last decade, which has now become a political economic liability and is likely to be met with an attempt to devalue the currency. And that's also probably going to feed into some additional US dollar strength. And the US dollar was also stronger in here today against both the euro and the pound. So we're seeing really quite a lot of strength for the US dollar, and most of it is weakness in other currencies rather than any particular massively bullish story to support the US dollar at present. When we look at the commodity complex, gold was down today by about $10 and is holding here in the region of 1,242. It really does need to do more than that, and it needs to break its progression of lower rally highs to begin to suggest that demand is returning to dominance beyond short-term scope for an additional unwind of the oversold condition. And both platinum and palladium, which had bounced really quite emphatically over the last couple of sessions, have paused in here. Palladium was relatively unchanged and platinum was down. It's back below the $1,400 area, and it's down by about $14.50 at the close. And the oil market is looking much more constructive. And West Texas Intermediate was as high today as 99.87 and finished out the day at 99.47. And it has been ranging higher for the last month. And it's closing in on this $100 area. And really, in the absence of a clear downward dynamic, that $100 area is unlikely to provide anything other than very temporary resistance at this level. And Brent crude has been ranging above the $100 area, and it's more or less in the region of 103. What we have seen is that the tightness in that spread that saw it expand out to over $15 has really tightened in considerably, and now we're talking about a spread of less than $4. So that is looking at the possibility that the USA's advantage in crude oil pricing is being eroded. But of course, its advantage in natural gas pricing is still very much intact. And natural gas is still trading in the region of $3.65, having fallen by approximately a full dollar over the last 6 weeks. It has steadied around the $3.50 area. And that's likely to remain the case for probably the foreseeable future, where we see volatility in the natural gas market. But really, there is an awful lot of supply of natural gas that becomes economic above $4. So there isn't likely to be any kind of supply deficit for the foreseeable future. And it is really in the natural gas market that the USA's competitive advantage in energy is coming through strongly. Now, when we look at stock markets in here today, then it's generally it was an easy day, apart from strength in Japan and Australia. The majority of the ASEAN markets were a little bit weaker in here today. And having had a good rally over the last 3 days in Europe, the majority of markets were in negative territory, although the FTSE was pretty much unchanged. And in Latin America today, the Mexican market, which has been rallying so emphatically, paused in here today, and it was down about 0.8%. But the Brazilian market was down over 4%. And all those riots on the street, when we think about what the real reason for them being out there, and it's not really about the cost of public transport, but rather the fact that the government is not coming through with the kind of growth necessary to promote the wealth effect. And people are starting to talk about the possibility of a recession in Brazil. So that's a market which had been trading in the region of 70,000 points not that long ago. And it's down now to 45,000 points and breaking down out of what has the appearance of a really quite a large Type 3 top formation. And in the absence of a break in the progression of lower rally highs, one would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the downside. The industrial metals were more or less unchanged in here today, but the commodity complex generally has been weaker, and the grain and bean complex was relatively unchanged in here. So when we look at the commodity complex and we look at some of the commodity producers and the pressure that some of those economies are coming under, then the outlook for the commodity currencies in particular does suggest that they are going to get weaker from here. And really in the absence of evidence to the contrary and something to change the structure of these price charts, we'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to additional dollar strength. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.